Lord, as we have read and heard this morning from your holy word, a time in the early church that was challenging and yet exciting. Lord, we thank you that for the Apostle Paul, and at times we struggle with what he wrote and what he meant. We thank you for his boldness and for the education and training that he had and his willingness to stand up for his faith as you had called him to do, and to share who he knew you to be. Lord, we pray for that type of boldness in our lives as well, that we too may share our knowledge and our understanding and our love for you with others, that they too may come to know you as their personal God. We pray this day, O Lord, that our hearts and minds may be open to receive a word from you that may help us in our daily living. And we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Have you read or heard or watched the news lately? Whether you are a news junkie, just try to keep informed on the major issues, or avoid news reports altogether, there is so much going on today that may be troubling to many people, such as, and I couldn't cover everything, but here's a smattering of ideas. Terrorism around the world, where benign objects like backpacks and vehicles have been turned into weapons of mass destruction. Cyber hacking, where personal and corporate data is often no longer private or protected. Climate change, no matter where you stand on this issue, there are noticeable changes taking place in the environment. Droughts and floods, warmer than usual seasons, melting ice caps, etc., etc. North Korea continues to test long-range missiles. They are projected to have nuclear capabilities within about a year. Other superpower nations, such as China and Russia, and I'm not going to go into all the details there. Pick up your newspaper or your magazine or check online for more information about them. Our own federal government, the legislative and executive branches seem to have difficulty working within their own area and with each other. The vast misuse of opioid drugs and access to guns, both leading to senseless deaths and leaving numerous families mourning the unexpected and untimely deaths of loved ones. We live in a desperate and dangerous world. But this is not the first generation to feel threatened. If we were to review history, we would find numerous other times when people may have felt unsafe. Some of us may have lived through other times when our safety and our security was threatened. And I'll get back to that a little later. But when we feel that way, we often ask, where is God? Is God in control? And I want us to pause for a moment and look at today's scripture, where the Apostle Paul finds himself in Athens, one of the most cosmopolitan centers of his day. The intellectuals of that city loved to debate and often gathered at the city forum to do so. Paul was never one to miss an opportunity, so he seized the moment there to present his case for the God he worshipped and the God that he served. The Athenians worshipped many gods, but didn't know much about Paul's God. They constructed many altars to various gods, but Paul noticed one with the inscription reading, "To an unknown God." Paul viewed that altar as a sign of a human need to worship his God, the true God. And he said, in effect, to those gathered, "This altar shows that you have the yearning to worship, but you don't know who to worship." And then Paul proceeded to tell them about the God of heaven and earth, who made the world and everything and everyone in it. He even quoted one of their own poets, referring to God, "In him we live and move and have our being." In saying this, Paul asserted that not only his own life, but also the lives of the citizens of Athens were in God's hands. God was in control, even if they did not know this God. Perhaps some of us understand that intuitively, because there's something in our hearts that wants to connect with someone or something bigger than we are. But for a moment, I'd like to let's transplant the Apostle Paul into a contemporary scene. What do you suppose Paul would say if he showed up not in ancient Athens, but in New York City, Chicago, Houston, Los Angeles, or even Boston? What if he taught not on the brow of a Greek hill surrounded by temples, but inside a Starbucks, handing out mocha lattes all around? He might begin, "Americans, I see how extremely religious you are in every way." But instead of speaking of temples to unknown gods, he might say something like this, "I observed how many of you are fond of saying, I'm spiritual, but not religious. I am aware how increasing numbers of you never cross the threshold of a church, a synagogue, or even a mosque, but spend hours browsing religious books at Barnes & Noble. Many of you wear crosses around your necks, but hardly know why. You finger them in moments of fear or anxiety and feel vaguely comforted. You sit at home, channel surfing the televangelists and religious talk shows, hoping to glean some spiritual comfort, but you never linger long enough to submit yourselves to their teachings. You have an insistent curiosity about things religious and vow that one day you'll do something about it. But somehow, you never find the time. You just never find the time." Paul is calling on his listeners to believe that there is a God. But some people argue that there's no proof, nothing whatsoever in the way of scientific proof, one way or the other, that God exists in our world or is sovereign over it. We aren't able to prove or disprove the claim that in Him we live and move and have our being. Those who believe in God do so by faith. The New Testament book of Hebrews tells us that faith means being sure of things we hope for and knowing that something is real, even if we do not see it. It is by faith we understand that the whole world was made by God's command, so that what we see was made by something that cannot be seen. So how does this faith help us in today's uncertain world? Some of us are old enough to remember the late 1950s, when life, for many people, even people of faith, was a scary proposition. The Cold War had escalated to a point where duck and cover drills were practiced on a regular basis in schools. Thousands of preachers used the nuclear age as a signal for the end of the world. Many people believed a war between the United States and Soviet Union would soon bring about the destruction of humanity. A newspaper editorial of the day signaled the attitude of millions when it announced, "God is dead." And with the power to destroy billions resting in the hands of just a few people, it at least seemed like God had stepped back and had become a spectator. In the midst of all this hopelessness, a child's voice reassured the world that God was still in charge. Lori London, a British teenager, stepped into the recording studio and cut a song that was over a century, maybe even a century and a half old. When released, millions seized the song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," as if it were a life preserver thrown to a drowning shipwreck victim. people all over the world simply could not get enough of this affirmation that God was out there somewhere and was caring about them. That song, "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands," was born in the fields of the American South. It was written by a slave whose name we will never know. The man or woman likely experienced more trouble and more suffering than any person in the modern age. He or she was not considered human by a society that viewed bondage as a necessary evil. So the writer of this hymn was not in charge of the present, nor had control over the future. His or her owner could beat him or her to death, and there would be no punishment. He or she could be sold on an auction block at a minute's notice. Yet in the face of a life with no promise of freedom, this slave found solace in faith. Somehow this person still believed that there was a loving God who was in charge. There is strange irony in having the words of a slave, a man or woman who truly was the least of these, remind the free people living in the most powerful country in the world that God is in charge. Yet when the recording of "He's Got the Whole World in His Hands" was released, that was just what happened. Many turned to the Bible to search for hope, and they found it. A child's voice and a slave's words were the wake-up call for millions of insecure people. The world survived the Cold War. The destruction that millions predicted did not happen. In retrospect, it seemed that God was in control. And those who did not succumb to panic and instead relied on faith were correct. Today, there are still millions looking at every bump in the road as proof that the world is about to end. They live in such fear, they fail to enjoy the wonderful moments that they have that have been given to them. If a slave can see that God is alive and has a great plan for each life, if a slave can be a source, can be secure in faith, then surely we can also. There are so many struggles and crises in our lives that we sometimes feel that nobody has the world in their hands. Nobody is at the wheel. Nobody is in control. We have so many questions that we often seem to be wondering and wandering in circles. But the Lord knows us and says to us, "I am not an unknown God. Come unto me. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I am the way, the truth, and the life. You need not wander or wonder. You know me, and you know God, and I will be with you always, even to the end of the age." Let's pray together. Lord, we do live in dangerous and uncertain times. And at times we do question, where are you? Why don't you take control? And Lord, we just pray for your wisdom. And we just know that you have what is best for all of us. And sometimes we question that, Lord. Please forgive us when we do that. But Lord, help us to daily put our confidence in you. Help us to continually look for signs of your presence in our world and to lift those examples up and share that with others, to be beacons of hope and beacons of light where there is so much darkness. Lord, we just pray that one day when you call us home, that you'll say that we have been well, we've been good and faithful servants, but Lord, that we have worshiped you, we have recognized you in this world, and that we have shared your presence with others, that they too may come to know you as a personal God, someone who cares and loves for them. And Lord, we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.